Good evening. Welcome to the Solaria Report. Today's April 6, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, a lot of events coming up. We're going to be in have dinner at Cafe Max in Stavoren, Friesland, in the Netherlands tomorrow. We've got a wonderful group coming. It's a small group, but very powerful, so I look forward to that. And then lunch with Catherine May 6th in Pasadena. And then I'm giving a speech on May 11th in Valencia. That's a wealth management conference. You can learn about it at the website. And then Dr. Farrell joins me for our crowdfund celebration on May 13th in Louisville. A wonderful event. It turns out we're going to be able to order phase two contiguous with phase one, all to be delivered in June. We're very excited about that. And we're very close to funding phase two, so just come on in and make a donation if you want to help us get there. But I'm confident we'll be there in time to order, in time to make that June delivery date. In early June, I'll be in Sydney, Australia, and then in the week of June 19th, I'll be in Hong Kong. If you're interested in me organizing a lunch, definitely let me know. And I'm working on one for those of you in the San Francisco Bay Area on July 8th on my way back from Asia. And then our trip in Australia, May 2018, to the Outback is sold out, but we're building a waiting list. So if you're interested and want us to put you on the waiting list, just let customer service know. Finally, still have prayer books available, so email, call, or send a self-addressed stamped envelope to our P.O. Box, and we'll send you one back. They're free. Our theme tonight is the Shriekometer is running at max, and it really is. I find so many friends, family, subscribers are completely lost in the noise. And one of the reasons we did the first quarter wrap-up on the new administration in the United States is to really help you sort of look at the facts and see what's happening, and particularly at a deeper level, and get out of that noise stream, because it's terribly, it uses up a lot of time and it really doesn't help you understand what's going on. If you need to watch mainstream news for any reason, what I do, you know, and I do because of what I do at the Solaria Report and also because of investment advisory, what I use is the Financial Times, the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, The Economist, and sections of some of, a selection of some of the leading Asian papers done in English. Now, all of those can be wildly wrong, and the material omissions can be profound, but they tend not to shriek. Shrieking is still disdained in many parts of the financial press. And the one non-financial is Reuters, I think, has done a pretty capable and responsible job of responding to what's been happening in the media. Money and markets, quick market review. The dollar is still holding that 100, U.S. dollar index still holding that $100 line. It's, or 100.61 line, I should say. It's not a dollar. It's down about 1.63% for the year. Fixed income markets coming back. Long treasury now up 2.52% for the year. The intermediate up 1.57. Bond aggregate up 1.2. And finally, junk underperforming the treasury. That's a new one, 2.29% for the year. Equities, the S&P now up 5.5%. Home builders outperforming at 8.2%. Europe, the European ETF ups a little bit more than 7%, 7.23%. Germany up 7.7%. Developed markets away from North America, that ETF up 7.14%. China large caps, 12.07%. Small caps, 13.32%. So clearly outperforming the U.S. and Europe for year to date. And then emerging markets up 12.85%. Commodities still down. The commodities index down 3%. Gold doing well, up 9%. Silver better at 4.63%, and oil still lagging at 9.64%. We have a book review of one of my favorite financial authors, Bob Sullivan, who did a Solera report a number of years ago on identity theft, which is excellent. It's an older book called Gotcha Capitalism, and Jason was interested in doing a review, so we did one, and it's got a lot of great tips for how to keep yourself from being literally harvested for fees by predatory corporations. Check it out. It's on the homepage, Solera.com. A wonderful subscriber has been digging into the missing money and sent a list of missing money quotes, and that's up as well. Bad news this week, and could turn into very, very bad news. Last week, Tillerson said Assad can stay. The U.S. policy was no longer to remove Assad from running Syria. All of a sudden, we see Syrian forces attack a rebel village, and now it is claimed that attack involves sarin gas, and the use of chemical weapons by Assad is an international outrage. Now, Assad says that the sarin gas, if it existed, was not delivered by the Syrians, and claims if it was anywhere, it was in a local warehouse. The Russians have defended Assad, and Tillerson is in Palm Beach for the meeting with Xi Jinping and Trump, and now says an international coalition must insist that Assad will go. I have to tell you, I think this is too convenient for words. Tillerson should say publicly Assad can stay, and then all of a sudden sarin gas shows up and chemical weapons shows up in Syria. I can appreciate from watching Tillerson's announcement that he believes it's true. Interestingly enough, Ron Paul gave an interview today and said there's a zero chance it was Assad. I just can't fathom it was Assad. It's not in his interest to do this whatsoever. At the same time, literally, we see a switch hit of Steve Bannon thrown off the National Security Council and Dina Powell put on. Dina Powell is a Goldman partner. She's got an Egyptian background, speaks Arabic, and has proudly described her helping Condoleezza Rice and the Bush One team in that administration engineer the Bush Wars in the Middle East that killed over 1 million Arabs. It's a funny thing to be proud of. But needless to say, Bannon off and Powell on is a very ugly turn of events. And I question who is trying to start a war. As somebody is trying to really start a war, not just with more boots on the ground in the Middle East, but also with Russia. The Trump administration is getting pulled into hot spike crisis. So now North Korea and Syria. Notice it's the countries on the list that need to be taken out if you're going to get to a global currency. So I would say that all of this looks mighty suspicious to me. Trump and his team need to really sit down, and I would recommend they watch Sputnik Fever, Shut Up and Sing, in 13 days, and get much slicker about not getting tricked into wars. If you haven't watched Kevin Costner in 13 days and watch the sort of military-industrial complex trick John Kennedy, try to trick John Kennedy into going to war, and he's able to prevent it. In fact, it's one of the reasons that some of the best researchers on that topic think he was assassinated, because he was working with Khrushchev to really completely reduce the chances of war. Now, it's interesting, if you look at how many people were killed in Syria in the supposed sarin gas attack, if you just look at U.S. government spraying, narcotics trafficking, and suppression of healthcare freedom and information, I think all of that combined poisoned far more U.S. citizens this week than someone killed in Syria. So I'm kind of curious how come no one is jumping up and down and complaining about the poisoning of U.S. citizens in great numbers by the government. Needless to say, Lockheed Martin stock keeps rising to the moon. As I said, the summit with Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Florida this week. They arrived yesterday and we're meeting today. That's why Tillerson was down in Palm Beach. Also, the Senate has moved ahead with what's referred to as the nuclear option to change the rules so that they can confirm Gorsuch's nomination for the Supreme Court. I'm not real enthusiastic about him. I was pretty impressed with his credentials until I realized he was the guy who used his skills to help engineer the justification for Gonzalez during the Bush administration for torture. If you look at a couple of the Trump administration nominees, they're or cabinet members, they're very enthusiastic about torture. Luckily, we had Mattis persuade Trump that torture is not an effective tool. And in the web presentation, I put up his quote saying he didn't think it works. Give him a pack of cigarettes and a beer and he can get more done. That's a pretty funny comment. And finally, Jamie Dimon did his annual letter to shareholders and then did a series of meetings and interviews on them. And I really have to call him the psychopath of the month. He was talking about how important it is you treat your customers like you treat your mother. I can't imagine what would have happened to Jamie Dimon's mother if he treated them the way he treated the investors in Madoff who thought their money was going into securities when instead it was going into J.P. Morgan Chase and sitting in a bank account. As far as I'm concerned, the whole Madoff fraud is something that J.P. Morgan Chase should be totally liable for. But if you look at all the different frauds that they've engaged in, from the housing bubble and the resulting foreclosures to HUD mortgage fraud, for Jamie Dimon to sit there and talk about how he treats his clients and depositors like he would treat his mother. I mean, you wonder if he's had a memory wipe or something. It's so bizarre. If you really want to see psychopathy at work, just give it a watch. Let's go to the movies. I will. I recommended that you take a look at Zero Days, which is a documentary on the Stuxnet's computer virus. It was a virus developed by a joint U.S.-Israeli effort to target the Iranian nuclear industry. And it seems to have been effective in slowing the Iranians down. The challenge is it gets out everywhere and inspires others to do the same. So, you know, it's one of those things, after it gets out of Pandora's box, you've got a problem. The Israelis used it in ways that were more aggressive than what the U.S. was planning, and without the U.S. permission. And I believe it's one of the many legitimate reasons that the Obama administration soured on working with the Israelis. And the Trump team seems to be very enthusiastic about working with the Israelis, and you almost wonder if they're not going to end up having the same experience as the last administration. Our interview this evening is our discussion of the theme for the first quarter wrap-up, The Clash of Civilizations, with Dr. Farrell. It was a great discussion. I wanted to step back for the first quarter wrap-up and take a look at the first 70 days of the Trump administration. Trump winning the election was a shock for most people. It was not what was expected. And so there was an adjustment during the transition, because you're looking at a president who has no government experience, big change, bringing in people who are much more business and military and doer inclined than sort of the lawyer and process people that we've seen in recent administrations. So it's a big change, and a lot of the changes which are really being attributed to Trump do not reflect Trump. They reflect change in the economy, change that has to occur in the budget. A lot of this is the end of the debt growth model, and this is all being attributed to Trump. And in some sense, it has very little to do with Trump, other than he's inclined to face the music, being a business and money person. What I found is, with the shriekometer at high volume and the the media wars going on, including the brouhaha about fake news or the effort to push, you know, to cook up a Russian scandal around the election, even though there's no evidence whatsoever. But with all the noise, it's been increasingly difficult for our subscribers to really focus on the real events and the deeper story that's going on. And so I wanted to take a look at the first 70 days and the new team coming in, but in the context of what are the real power and money events that are important and what's the deeper story. And so we walked through the material with Dr. Farrell, and I encourage you to listen to the interview. But there is a web presentation, and I just wanted to walk you through that now during Money and Markets. If you go to the Salieri Report commentary where you pick up the audio, there's a link to the web presentation. And what you'll see is there's an introduction that I've written. Under the navigation bar under Home, you'll see Table of Contents, then Introduction, then Salieri Reports and Videos. We've done a great deal of interviews and materials on the election and then the transition and now the administration. And I wanted to rack them all up in one place, along with videos that have content that pertain to some of the deeper issues like the red button problem or black budgets or some of these different concepts or terminologies that we've used in the Salieri Report to describe the struggle that we're having with the economic model. So Salieri Reports and Videos are all there for your convenience, because if you want to dive in deeper, we've got a lot of great material. Then the next section on the navigation bar is the report card. If you click on report card, you'll literally pull up the report card I prepared for the Trump administration. It was a lot of fun to break it down into the different areas and talk it through with the Salieri team and different allies. We really chewed through it. Beneath the report card, there's a list of accomplishments. I start with the first three most important, and then there's a long list of others. And then there's a beneath accomplishments is material omissions and stumbles, and that's the things they have failed to do or have missed doing or done a poor job of doing. Then recommendations, which is what are the things that could really make a big difference going forward in terms of improving their performance and getting accomplished what they want to have done. And then finally, there are two leaks. One, we took the chronology at Wikipedia of the administration and reformatted and laid it out so that you can see literally in chronological order what's been accomplished and in what order. And then finally, a link to all the executive orders. One of the things they're doing is trying to get as much done as they can by executive order and administratively, which is where the president has a lot of latitude. In the next section, the top group is People to Watch. It says Peoples and Policies. If you just click on that, you'll get a look. And I've gotten several requests to assign profiles, our four profiles of Titanic, Turner, Scorpion, Piggy, or Scaredy Cat to the cabinet and sub-cabinet positions, and we've done that. Beneath that is something called the DC Financial Ecosystem, and this is not for everybody, but I keep getting questions about who and what is the deep state. And in Washington, part of the deep state is very much the financial organizations and infrastructure. And so we've laid out links to the Wikipedias on those so that you can sort of see who's who and what the players are. And we pulled up a page from Trump's budget blueprint so you can kind of see how much money is associated with some of the different players and just a snapshot of the budget. Beneath that is U.S. intelligence agencies. We keep hearing various politicians say the 17th intelligence agencies. And so I decided maybe you'd like to know who they are. Then beneath that is another set of links. It's called contractors, donors, law firms, and influencers. If you look at a lot of the big, both government agencies and intelligence agencies, a lot of their work in operations is done by contractors, and it's very much affected by outside law firms doing a variety of work and interacting with them in various ways. By donors, you know, there's a real cycle between government decisions that create capital gains and then campaign contributions that roll back in. It's almost like a kickback system. And then finally, influencers. There are lots of places where decisions are discussed and consensus built and decisions made outside the government that have a tremendous impact on what really happens in government. So that's the Bilderbergers or the Bohemian Grove. I made a list of those. And then a link to the top think tanks, which I would say leverage and help those groups where consensus is built. And finally, we just duplicated the four profile descriptions that we had in the annual wrap-up and published on the website. So that's all under People and Policies. And then to be discussed next week, our news trends and stories. We've racked up the list of news trends and stories. And so it's always, I think, very helpful to just run through and look at all the different trends and get a sense of the different headlines. And of course, you can link to all the stories from there. And finally, Financial Markets has the charts. So this is really designed to get you to step back and look at what's really been happening in terms of both people, policies, and actions in this administration, and then try and assess what's important. I also wanted to mention under report card, there's, again, recommendations for what does Trump need to and his group need to think about if they want to be successful going forward. I have the immediate actions, but I also then have what I call my list of sugar basket goals. When I was in the Bush administration, I took my most important goals and I had to be able to write them in tiny print on a sugar packet, which no one else knew. No one knew what my sugar packet goals were. It was the most important things I wanted to get accomplished. And the only way I had hope of getting them accomplished was, you know, to keep them secret and not tell anybody. It's a sad state of affairs, but that's how Washington is. Anyway, so it's all there, the Clash of Civilizations. It's a material that can really help you make sense of what's been going on and what's important. Two of the things that I point out that I think are very important is Trump has said not a word about the effort to get a constitutional convention. And if he doesn't want the rug pulled out from under him and his team completely, he needs to do something about that. But the other thing he needs to do, the budget blueprint, if you look at all the grades on the report card, the grade I gave him, the weakest one was he got a D+. For his budget blueprint. And if it doesn't get better when they publish the budget in May, he's going to get an F. There was no vision of how we were going to reinvent our role in the world and what that meant to reinventing the command structure in the military and how we could bring the military up to, a much better sort of state of readiness and strength, without wasting a lot of money on the failure to re-engineer. The second thing about the budget is we didn't include the $11.5 trillion that's missing. And if you're going to hold Americans responsible to carry $20 trillion of debt, then the assets that was financed with that $20 trillion of debt need to be on the table. And it needs to be on the table about how we're going to get the federal government to something that can comply with financial management laws, including the provisions of the Constitution. So I tend to stress on why that's so important, because if you look at all the difficulties we having in all these different areas, whether healthcare or pensions or talk about Social Security, that $11.5 trillion needs to be back on the table, because that's the money that was supposed to fund a lot of these different things. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. If you have questions, of course, just let us know. Okay, so, and again, it was a great discussion with Dr. Farrell. I love talking with him about these things. Okay, ask Catherine. Lots of great links. Thank you very, very much. Okay, first question. Dear Catherine, in October 2016, my friend gave me a subscription to Solari in order to help me navigate to a worldview that was more consistent with my actual experience. Now I've started a little group of Solari fans here in North Carolina. We gather from time to time to listen and process one of your messages. We recently jumped on board with a local fluoride-free water effort that was stalling and gave it new life. That's fabulous because you save money for the budget and the water gets healthier. And little by little, we are turtling along, bringing your words and gems into our daily life and into increasingly more powerful interactions with the local staff. We have a university town complete with a secret society, so there are nefarious roadblocks everywhere, as we're discovering. Now, remember, look for all opportunities to align. It's wherever you can align and get something done, you want to look for that. On my recommendation, Claire Viadro subscribed to A Year of Solari. Claire has a PhD in public health and is a smart, articulate woman. She's well-trained and versed in vaccines, fluoride, and many other timely topics. And she's taking Sally Fallon's place in running the Weston Price Foundation. That's fantastic. I love Weston Price. I'm a member. I've been a member for years. And they have wonderful local groups all around the country. I always tell people, if you want to get together and see if you can get to be part of a group to get something done, reach out and see what the Weston Price groups are in your area. Claire is also schooling her two boys at the local Wardoff School. There are many connections, and she may be a good resource for you at some point. I will check her out. I very much appreciate that. Again, I'm a huge fan of the Weston Price Foundation. I just wanted you to know that we're here, we're growing, and we're grateful. Blessings to you, dear Catherine. That's great news. I really appreciate that, and I will let you know if I'm over in your direction. You talk about the deep state, and I get it. To a degree, I think of the head of the deep state being in the banking system, but just how does this deep state coordinate with the left and the right? I presume it basically controls both ends. Just what and who are the enemies? I think your Trump lollipop interpretation has merit. However, I believe he possesses a very much greater depth of understanding of the world's peril, but he surely is the concrete versus software side. That's what which people not only understand, but recognize as being legitimate, transparent, and corrupt. I think he has an uncanny knack of slicing the defenses with his essential one-line Twitter tweets. How insightful was it to tweet Obama has wiretapped me? That little tweet alone turned defense to offense at a time it was sorely needed. But that is the big picture. I want you to focus on the reality of the little picture and see if you can find people with the knowledge of putting the transformation of what is occurring into perspective that makes it understandable. Someone who has put together a timeline of this Russia stole the election scenario, which is bogus. However, it involves a lot of deceit perpetuated by a conspiratorial number of people, including the various intelligence communities, the Obama White House, as well as Soros, like guys pulling the puppet strings. That's why, I mean, if I bopped into somebody who was doing a timeline, I would certainly link to it. It's not worth I or any of our allies investing time in something like that, just because it's so, you know, you're talking about a manufactured game of info war that doesn't get into the reality of anything that's fact or evidence-based. And you can spend an enormous amount, you know, it's like doing a chronology of the Salem witch trial. I'd rather spend the time building the economy. So be careful. You don't want to get sucked into investing a huge amount of scholarship and sort of following fake news. I have one more thing that may pique your thought process. Consider Trump a second coming of Christ. That I cannot do. If you look at some of Trump's more underhanded behavior over the years, it's impossible to think of him as a second coming of Christ. As ridiculous as that may sound, there is a movie called Zeitgeist that stated that every 2,000 years there is a new age of religion with a duplication of a Christ figure that is identified by different names, but one that has the world transformational powers and a similar life story. This deity touches the lives of the world in a great way, but a good way as opposed to, say, Hitler. I have to admit that Trump was not a virgin birth. However, he's on the path to throwing the bankers out of the temple. Well, let's hope. That's, you know, my big concern about the Trump administration is will it get frustrated because anything that's good for the people can't get through Congress, but anything that's good for the rich, including piratization, goes flying through. So it's one thing Farrell and I talk about. Thank you, Catherine Fitz. I enjoy the perspectives of your show and watch a great deal, even if a bit of it goes over my head. I'm not sure what you're looking for in the deep state, but I just wanted to point to you. We've got a lot of interviews in the archives that could be useful. We did a series with Farrell on the breakaway civilization and one with Dolan, which I think will help. Then we had one with Nafees Ahmed, CIA, NSA, and Google. Another with Farrell on the Bilderbergers. Another with Farrell on the oligarchs and other fronts. And then Dolan on the national security state. And then, of course, there was my speech at Secret Space Program 2014. So I would really encourage you to dive into those particular Solera reports because I think they could help you sort of cover the deep state. Another person who's written a lot about the deep state, which I think is very helpful, is Peter Dale Scott. You might check out some of his books. Hi, Catherine. I heard recently from a local source that Fannie is holding inventory off the market. Previously in our areas, units were listed for sale immediately after sheriff's sale. For some reason, Fannie is now holding units off. Have you heard anything about shifts in inventory management? Thanks. Background, our area is notorious for high levels of foreclosure, and it's been that way for years. I recently had a conversation with a real estate agent who handles Fannie REO that prompted my question. He also observed a drop in HUD REO activity. I do a little writing in my spare time. I've written on the CFPB's TRID rule, and most recently published a story, REMERS activity in PA, copy attached, involving class actions by county clerks alleging fraud by MERS in foreclosure actions. That is absolutely fascinating. And for some reason, I'm not sure this story came through. If you listen to this, please, you could do me a huge favor by sending me again. I'm very interested in anything having to do with MERS. I'm not sure what's up, and I haven't heard any intel that would indicate to me what is up. The one thing I would say, given this team and some of what some of their allies have been doing to get ready to do place-based, I am very curious to see whether they're stockpiling so that they can do jumbo flips, whether it's a place-based flip or not. So here's my question. If you stockpiled Fannie, Freddie, VA, and FHA, maybe even Farmers Home, both defaulted mortgages and REO and other assets, if you stockpiled for a year or two and then did giant flips, could you get a critical mass of a property in a place? I think one of the things they're interested in prototyping is even privatizing towns. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're looking to do big institutional deals, and those institutional deals come along with reengineering the government money in that place in a way that really drives capital gains through regulatory relief and sort of management of government money. Hi, Catherine. I finally got a subscription to Solera a few years ago. A few days ago after researching the global economy and the ET phenomena for over a year. Holy mackerel, finally a decent resource that is comprehensive and has enlightened risk management, risk assessment. I'm working with a group called Canadian Bank Reformers. We're lobbying for monetary policy and changes in Canada. I'm looking to get opinions from mainstream economists and Wall Street analysts to assess our plan to bring back the government-created money functions that the Bank of Canada used between 1939 and 1974. I have a few questions for you and then a series of questions. I'm in the Netherlands traveling, so when I get back to Hickory Valley, I'll take a look at this and then I'll try and respond. I need to go through this. It's going to take a little bit of research to understand and answer your questions. But thank you very much for your interest, and I hope I can be responsive. Hi, Catherine. I've been listening to you for years and have been a subscriber to the Solera Report for about two. I can't thank you enough for the incredible amount of information I've learned from you and your guests and how it's refined my worldview. If you don't already, please listen to Geoengineering Watch by Dane Wigington. I regularly put up his videos and link to his materials. So I'm very aware of him, yes. He bravely covers chemtrails along with ecological collapse and is one of the only researchers that will look at both issues together. It is critical to our future on planet Earth that his message is heard, and I urge you to do so by clicking the link below, maybe even consider him as a guest. The reason I haven't invited him to be a guest is we did a two-hour special with Clifford Carnicom many years ago, but it still stands as the sort of best single piece I've seen on global spraying. And so the question is, do I want to have another interview on global spraying that doesn't necessarily add a whole lot? I think his efforts to get real attention to the issue and to engage, for example, he got testimony arranged at the Shasta County, I guess it was the Board of Supervisors. It's the county that Mount Shasta is in. And it was very, very useful, including testimony from Mark McClandish on things that might inform some of the fires we've been getting around the country. So, but I will, you know, I'm a promoter of his work, and I certainly put up his videos, and I'll consider him having, he'll go on the guest list. So thank you for the recommendation. Hello, Catherine. I thought you might find this link interesting. I do not know the accuracy of this report, but appears to tie in with your Salieri report on cardiac arrest, the criminalization of America. And then she provides a link to an Amish farmer who's been placed in jail by the FDIA for selling healing salve. And then they say this must be extremely difficult for Mr. Sam Girard and his family. It's really a horrible story. I've sent a donation, and I put it up on the website and encourage others to. And frankly, it's what happens when you don't play the game right with folks like that. You know, some of it could be avoided, but clearly, you know, the sort of Sheriff of Nottingham enforcement model, putting good small business out of business, is crazy. Hi, Catherine. I appreciated your interview on Gaim TV. One reply prompts me to write for further clarification. Regina asked you how a Defense Department can lose $6.5 trillion when its entire budget is less than $6 billion. You said something to the effect that this is possible when you are financing with securities fraud. I long to hear more from you on this. What amazes me is that the DOD revelation has not aroused anyone in Washington, D.C. to ask the same question. No major news reporter has touched it. This intentional distancing from what has to be a national security debacle and open theft of the nation's wealth must not go unchallenged. It reminds me of the same inexplicable silence when bankers commit suicide with a body full of nails from a nail gun, or the national blindness of chemtrail overhead that are never explained. Where are the honest public officials, the real journalists? Right here at the Salieri Report. I was an honest public official. Now I'm an honest journalist, or certainly honest publisher. So don't ever say no one, because you don't want to denigrate the real. I mean, I hate to use this expression again, but fake news is fake news. It's not designed to be news. It's designed to be fake news. So, you know, what needs to happen is not that fake news needs to change. What we need to do is stop paying any attention to it whatsoever. And then they continued, the crimes against the people are so blatant, ignored by irresponsible law enforcers, press, and political leaders. They think there is nothing they can, well, I would say they do think there's nothing they can do. They adapt, and they just go along with the system as it is. But what I don't understand is, why did the citizens adapt? Why does the marketplace adapt? So why do we keep voting people back into office who, you know, do nothing? They continue, we are being trained to live in an alternative reality where no one can allow themselves to deal with what is obvious and poisoning our national life. No, don't say that. I'm not no one. You are not no one. We're somebody. And it's not no one. It's a small percentage. So we'd like to see the percentage grow. You know, but the way you get a seed to grow is by watering it, not by saying it doesn't exist. Please explain this. Why isn't anyone concerned about the disappearance of Trojans where Trojans are not even supposed to be? Someone is concerned. I'm concerned. You're concerned. You know, the other subscribers who just put together that great list of quotes about the missing money and are researching it, they're concerned. So, you know, but why is the percentage of people who understand this issue and understand its relevancy so small? You know, I can think of many reasons, one of which is entrainment and subliminal programming, to be perfectly blunt. But I would encourage you to change your language and start nourishing the small percentage. Thank you so much for continuing to bravely tell it like it is. You're most welcome. And I would take a look at the first quarter wrap-up, especially when it comes out in PDF copy or hard copy or the flip book, because I think it's going to be a great tool to help others start to see the importance of that $11.5 trillion. The more that administration says there's no money for this, there's no money for that, well, you know, maybe we should get that money back. If we have $20 trillion of debt, it would be good to have the $11.5 trillion of assets that got purchased with that debt. Hi, Catherine. No question this time. Just wanted to let you know that when I hear the opening notes of each week's report, I immediately get a feeling of relaxation, and it's so very nice. So thank you. It's a lot like the Inner Explorers Children Meditation Program I support, where they always start each day's lesson with a few notes of Vivaldi. It's a signal to their minds to relax and be prepared to tap into something outside the matrix. The music preceding each week's Solaire Report has the same effect on me after all these years. I'm instantly prepared to always learn something new and interesting that can benefit me and mine, if not all humanity, in one way or another. Well, thank you. That's so nice. Catherine, I just listened to Where Would Jesus Bank recording and went out to find a good local bank. I found one and placed my large savings amount into it. According to both Bill Bonner and Jim Rickards, a credit crunch is coming that will destroy a lot of banks. This new local bank is very secure on paper, but I still fear the other banks might take this down with them. Is my savings still vulnerable? I want to protect it. I invest in gold, Bitcoin, and gold money. In my opinion, a good local bank is significantly more secure than gold money or Bitcoin. So you're in some pretty wild stuff. I'm surprised you're worried about the bank. But I want access to cash when farmland opportunities open up. Good idea. Is a solid small local bank as solid as I'm thinking it is? I don't know your bank. The first thing is, I'm assuming you have either FDIC or the credit union insurance. If it's a bank, then you have FDIC. And there's no reason, if the FDIC fund is in trouble, that the U.S. government shouldn't proceed to back it to make sure it, you know, it remains good, unless, of course, they're purposely trying to bring the whole economy down. I don't know your bank. I do my own bank. I bank in a small local community bank. It's heavily capitalized. It's excellently run. It's got FDIC insurance, and it's heavily involved and has very cordial relationships with the community. And I feel unbelievably comfortable, and I think my bank is has a much better chance of making it through a really serious downturn or recession than most of the big banks. Anyway, I would say the thing you're doing that is the most dangerous is listening to Fearborn. So I'm not saying that bad things can't happen, but if you're in a properly capitalized, excellently managed local bank, there are a lot of other things to worry about besides that. If we hit a scenario where literally my bank, or, you know, a local bank of that quality would go down and FDIC insurance is no good, then I assure you nothing will be working other than what you can protect, you know, with a gun. Hi, Catherine. Here's an article that was forwarded to us today about the Trump administration geoengineering. We're hoping he would stop it. And it's the Trump presidency opened stores to planet hacking geoengineering experiments. It's hard to say. I have no idea what they may or may not do. It was a good sign, I note, that they slashed the NIH budget a third. John Rappaport was jumping up and down and cheering. Thank you and the Solari team for all the amazing work you do. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for your wonderful ongoing Solari reports and work. We learned about this very scary bill introduced in California, which would strip local authority regarding the installation of cell towers, 5G, and antenna installations. I have to tell you, this is one of the most scary pieces of legislation I have ever seen. You ask, have you heard about this? No, and I deeply appreciate the information. I posted it on the website and sent it to a variety of people in California saying you need to do something about this. I have to tell you, they're talking about putting 5G antenna, literally, you know, little ones all over the place, all down your block, I believe even on your house. And I have to say, I think this is unbelievably dangerous. In the worst case, I will tell you, if I was in an area that legislated this and then was started to do it, I would absolutely get out. I think it's, you know, I think we're coming into something where literally the Kingsman scenario could happen, and you could see massive sort of mind control throughout neighborhoods and society, and some pretty dangerous things happening. You know, at this point, I have to say the telcos are far more worse than Monsanto, even. We're wondering if this is happening in other states as well. I have not seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me. These usually come in waves. It wouldn't surprise me if they were using ALEKS, the association that sort of coordinates state legislation, to help. So I'll be looking for it. Thank you again for all you and the Solari team do. Dear Catherine, I hope you'll do a discussion or analysis of this article or one of Michael Hudson's two books mentioned in the article. I appreciate the way Hudson lays out the betrayals by Obama and his pals. So many people refuse to look at this. Maybe that is why the focus has been on demonizing Russia. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. May we have peace, unity, true connection. And then it's an article by Hudson, How Bankers Became the Top Exploiters of the Economy. I've ordered one of the books, but it's in, I now have a stack of over 100 books in the must read soon category. So I can't promise I'll read it anytime soon. Catherine, are you aware of this powerful Irish serenity prayer? Lord, give me coffee to change the things I can change, and wine to accept the things I can't. It's taken from a cafe restaurant in Bantry, Ireland. Good food and vibe. That is a good one. Hi, Catherine. Thanks so much for taking my question during the Solari webinar today. I appreciate the information you provided in the webinar. I learned a lot. I'm the Solari subscriber that called to say that I live in the San Francisco Bay Area and mentioned how hard it is to know where to dig into our large communities to figure out the money issues. I really liked your idea of focusing on one positive aspect of our local economy and supporting that. You mentioned I could email you and you would connect me with Bay Area friends that are doing just what you are talking about, finding success. I am, after your comment, I started to work on a luncheon. When I come back from Asia, I'm coming through San Francisco, so I'm working on a luncheon for July 8th in Palo Alto, so stay tuned. Catherine, can you recommend gold or silver stocks that are reputable to invest in? Stocks that are not negatively leveraged or that will move with the increase of price of gold or silver? Are there specific gold and silver stocks? Are you supportive of precious metals ET, and if so, which ones? I wrote an article with my attorney on GLD and SLV. You can, if you do a search for the Precious Metals Puzzle Palace, you can find it. I don't recommend individual securities on the Solari report. If you look at the regulations that apply to an investment advisor, I don't want to be giving investment advice on the Solari report. And just as a matter of disclosure, I do, my other company, Solari Advisors, does provide, does play a role as research advisor on a precious metals hedge stock portfolio, but that is actively managed. So it's a completely separate business. Okay, that's it in closing. On April 13th, next week, news, trends, and stories. I'll be back in Tennessee. And then the following week, we have equity, our equity overview, and the great charts from Rambus Chartology for the quarter. And then April 27th, the response was so great to his interview on the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Rob Kirby is going to come back and explain interest rate swaps. Interest rate swaps are the primary form of derivatives. If you look at the, you know, they make up the largest bulk of the derivatives. And it's very important to understanding what it means when interest rates start to go up and how interest rate swaps have played a role in keeping interest rates low. So until next week with News, Trends, and Stories with Dr. Farrell, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.